we offer a warm welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What's God up to in my life? That is a question that many people ask from time to time, and we're going to discuss it in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you again for this marvelous opportunity that we have to center our thoughts in your word and to learn what you have to tell us today. We thank you that we there again can find your tremendous interest in us, that first you want to bring us into your kingdom, and then secondly, you want us to grow in grace and holiness. Lord, we pray that that good work which you have begun in us will be performed and perfected until that day when you come to receive us. Lord, open our hearts and our ears that we may hear and respond to this great truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of 2 Peter, beginning with verse 3. God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. friends in Christ. What's God up to in my life today? That was a question that a frustrated man asked me not long ago. He said, "Sometimes I think that God is on a vacation." Now, it is true that this man had some fantastic problems. And maybe he felt just a little bit angry with God. Perhaps his faith was being tested. But I'm sure that the day is going to come when, in retrospect, he'll look back and have the answer to that question, and will find that this is a real period of growth. Had you asked an unbeliever, "What do you think God is up to in your life today?" he could well say to you, "I don't have the slightest idea, and I could care less." If you pursued the conversation further, it could very well be that he would say, "If there is a God, I don't think he has any interest in me. I don't think he knows my address." Perhaps for the average person who has that question once in a while, "Well, what's God up to in my life?" we probably would have to answer by saying, "I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to keep me in line. Maybe he's trying to teach me something." We really believe that he does have a contact with us, and therefore we know that he's at work. But what is he up to? We don't always know. Here in our text today, we deal with this whole matter from the standpoint of where God wants to be working with us in one way or another, wherever we are in our relationship with him. Now, the first great need that we have, and therefore the place where our Lord really wants to go to work with us, is on our relationship with him. He wants us to become a recipient of his grace. In other words, friend, if we do not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then what the Savior is trying to do today is to bring us into that relationship. And that's what Peter is talking about in this text that is ours. He wrote two little books, and the first one he deals with the primary reasons why God is concerned about bringing us into his kingdom. It is in that first book that he writes, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your fathers, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb that was without blemish or defect." Here in his first book, Peter wants the people to know that the important thing is the grace of God. And God wants you to be a recipient of that grace. He wants you to know that he has come into this world to love you, to grant you the forgiveness of your sin, to restore you into a relationship with him forever and ever. He wants to put you into the kingdom. This is the starting point of God's activity in your life and in mine. So today, if people ask the question, what do you think God is up to with me today? It would be, he wants to bring you into his kingdom. He wants to bring you to a conviction of your sins. He wants you to see how much you need the cross of Christ. He wants you to see that you need a Savior. He wants you to see that in him there is peace, and peace only in him. But then once we have come into the kingdom of God, once we are Christians, once we believe that Jesus is all that we have said, then God wants to move on. And he wants us to grow up in this Christian faith. When Peter was writing the first letter, there was persecution that was going on. And what Peter was really saying to the people of his day was, hang on to Christ, hang on to him. And now we're told that the persecution had ceased, and the enemy was a new one, It was the false prophets. Now they were beginning to take this Christian faith and make it say what they wanted it to say. Among some of these false prophets were those people who were known as antinomian. Anti is against, nomos is law. They were against the law. What they were trying to teach was that by grace, because you are a recipient of grace, now you are free to live pretty much as you please. Go out and enjoy your freedom. There are no responsibilities as far as your relationship with God is concerned. The text today says, oh no, nothing could be farther from the truth. The text is saying that God is not done with you. What he's up to in your life is to take your life and make it more like Jesus Christ. So in our text today that I read for you only a short time ago, you notice that he has all kinds of attributes that we should find in the Christian's life. For example, he says, add to your faith knowledge and goodness and self-control and godliness and brotherly kindness and so forth. What I'd like to do briefly is to take just three of these. For example, he says what you need to do as a Christian is to grow in your knowledge, of the grace of God, in your knowledge as to what God's will is for your life. And you do that only by living in the Word of God. So what he's after us to do is to live the self-disciplined life, to take time out every day with God's Word, that I might get to know it better, and so that when I'm in a situation that demands an answer or a course of action immediately, that I know where to go. I'm able to apply God's Word to my life in a given circumstance. Now that's a strong quality. And you'll notice that the Christian who has matured in his or her relationship with the Lord generally are people who are pretty mature in their thinking. And they'll come forth with questions, with answers that only God could have given them in their knowledge of him. He goes on to say that if you love the Lord Jesus Christ because you've experienced his love for you, then there ought to be self-control. In other words, let God build within you better self-control. What's he up to in your life? Perhaps trying to make you and me people of better self-control, that we can rise above our emotions, that when it's time for the tempest to fly, it seems, we're able to control them, that we are people who move about very steadily in life. That's what he's up to. He's up to people who don't go off half-cocked. He wants to make people of that particular quality. There's another one here that is kind of interesting. If God is your Savior and you are the recipient of his grace, then he wants you to be the dispenser of his love. And a part of that is that there will be godliness in your life. I've been reading a book rather recently, and I'm going to refer to it again in this sermon. It was written by Charles Swindoll. It is entitled A Man of Grace and Grit, St. Paul. In his book, Dr. Swindoll goes on to say that if there's anything that we need in our Christian faith today, it is depth. I remember when I was a young person, there used to be deeper life conferences. I never went to one of them, but I often wondered what they did there. Maybe I should have gone. To really be able to not live out our Christianity on the surface, but really to get down deeply into the Word of God and deal with the issues as they come along from a godly sense of the word. Now, I'm going to use an illustration here that I hope will not be misinterpreted. I don't believe that the pulpit, nor the microphone, in the case of a radio program, is one that should get in on particular issues that have been at the ballot. That is not the purpose of this at all. But during the past week or two, we in the area where I live had to go to the polls, or had the privilege to go to the polls, and vote yes or no on whether there was going to be a casino in our county. Now, I go back in my Bible and I find nothing directly, specifically, that deals with gambling. There are some who say, well, it's a form of stealing. So be it, maybe that is right. But I can't take you back and say where God says, thou shalt not gamble. And if there is such a passage, I wish that you, my listener, would write and tell me about it. And I certainly will make apology for that in the broadcast. I don't find one. I do not believe my friends who voted yes for the gambling are less Christian than I am, and I confess that I voted no. I did not want the casino in our area. But it is not a matter of whether I'm a Christian or I'm not a Christian. It's this whole matter of godliness, that little word that's in our text today. I don't think that that is needed in the place where I live. When I listened to a person one night who was a strong proponent of bringing this gambling casino to our area, I heard him say it will bring us all kinds of money, millions of dollars, and look what we can do with it. There can be tax relief. There can be money for charities. There can be capital improvements. And I can't question that, because money can bring us many of those things. But it seemed to me that what he was primarily concerned about was getting a hold of just a little bit more of this money. And then we would really have a great town. You know, I have lived in my town for 50 years. I love it. It's a marvelous place to live. Oh, I came from the East Coast, where we had the Atlantic Ocean, and we had the lakes, and we had the mountains. No, there's none of that out here, not where I live. And so as a result of that, we are lacking. But it still is a marvelous, marvelous place to live. I don't think I would want to live any other place. I've had opportunities. But this has always satisfied me, or at least it has for the last 50 years. What has made my community great? It had great churches. It had excellent schools, where my children were permitted to go from preschool to the university if they had wanted to. We have good technical schools. We send some of the finest teachers out into our nation. We have one of the finest schools of business that there is in the United States. We have a highly accredited industrial technology department. All of these marvelous things. We have good medical facilities and wonderful doctors. We have all the art you could ever hope to have. We have just had a new building constructed for the arts. We have thriving industry that provides good jobs, both big industry and smaller industry. We have nice places of entertainment, good parks, good golf courses, good recreational areas. You know, friend, starting off with a church and the message of God's word and going right down through this entire list. That, to me, is what makes a great community. And therefore, when I took a look at this whole matter that was before us as a community, I voted no. Again, I want to hurry on to say, I find nothing in the Bible that told me that I had to do it that way. But what is God up to in my life? I think he helps me to take the whole word of God and to say, well, what would be right? That's what Peter is talking about. What's God up to? When he gets done bringing me into the kingdom, then he wants to try to make me a more Christ-like person. But only as we give him our time and let him speak to us through God's word is that ever going to happen. It just cannot happen overnight. And God has to work. And here I go back to Dr. Charles Swindoll's book again. He writes in this book, "The deeper life is a subject greatly admired, but it's rarely experienced. In fact, it is seldom discussed, even though all of us would consider it of greatest importance. We sin it of its virtue, but we don't embrace them. We long for its quenching waters, but rarely dip into its well. We love the benefits it affords, but our frenzied lifestyle crowds out their significance. Until we're compelled by the Lord himself to accept the ingredients of the hidden life, either through a lengthy period of illness or some cataclysmic event, depth of character remains a distant dream. The Christian life of knowledge, of self-control, of godliness comes only when we take time to be alone with God. What's God up to in your life? If you're outside of Christ, he's trying to bring you to faith in him. If you trust Jesus as your Savior, he's trying to make you more Christ-like. He isn't going to leave you alone. He loves you. Amen. Christ, we do all adore thee, and we do praise thee forever. Christ, we do all adore thee, and we do praise thee forever. For of the holy cross hast thou the world from sin Father, it is an overwhelming thought that you're up to something in our lives, that you would be so concerned about us, that you would just want to be there with us, first bringing us into the kingdom and then making us more Christ-like. Lord, we pray that through your word, you may accomplish that work and that day by day we may grow as recipients of your grace and dispensers of your love. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message give you a strong foundation for the week ahead. We thank our faithful listeners for your generous support. Your gifts allow us to bring the greatest news that ever was, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to listeners worldwide. October is calendar month for Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you a free 2004 calendar featuring nature scenes from across the country with brilliant four-color photos. This calendar highlights an inspiring Bible verse each month. To receive your free calendar, just call our toll-free number at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We will need your name, mailing address, and the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 41 years.